It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock. The 3 o'clock hour, as always, brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Speaking of successful partnerships, I am going to have one with our buddy Joe Patrick, who is in studio with me for the next hour, full hour. So what does that mean for you, Falcons Nation? Well, you have a chance, an opportunity, to fire away any and all questions, comments, concerns, excitement, key players, matchups to watch, anything you want to know about the Steelers and the Falcons, which is coming up at 1 p.m. on Sunday, a week from yesterday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So what do you want to know? Do you want to know who do you think is going to get more carries? Bijan or the combination of Algier and McClellan? Do you want to know who do you think the leading receiver is going to be? Hell, if you want to ask a fantasy question, who should I draft first out of the Falcons in fantasy? Anything is on the table. I enlisted the help of our trusty Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, and he is here to take your calls. So 404-726-0929. What is the biggest thing that is burning a hole inside of that noggin of yours about this Falcons matchup? You have a chance starting right now to call in and ask our very own team insider. Joe, first of all,
Chris,
how are you, sir?
I'm good. I was actually up in Flowery Branch today, so just making a pit stop back here at the studio. And it's fun, you know, it's exciting. I hate to say it, it's exciting when you see less players out on the field, which is obviously sad for the players who aren't there anymore.
Right.
But it really does indicate to you that, you know, the season's right around the corner, and now it is.
So what type of vibe was it today at Flowery? What type of practice did we get, all that stuff?
So it was no pads. Usually they would not even really be, like, out on the field practicing on a Monday, so it was a really light session. In fact, based on the way I saw the report starting to come in, I actually left before Raheem Morris was supposed to speak. But they may have even cut it a little bit shorter than the schedule said. So I think it was just a light session. But it was interesting. You know, it was interesting. It was our first day in the locker room. So it was first day of open locker room media. And
that
we haven't
beautiful locker room.
Yeah. Oh, amazing locker room. And usually the last couple of years, since I've been on the beat, we always do it after practice. And now they've switched it up. So we'll be in the locker room before practice. So it was interesting for me to personally just see guys in a different element. You know, usually they're just dog tired. They would just kind of be sitting at their locker, scrolling their phone for a little bit afterwards. That's how I was used to kind of interfacing with them, and now they're kind of on iPads looking at stuff, like getting ready for practice, rolling themselves out on some the foam rollers and stuff
Jake
like that.
Matthews,
so getting themselves ready. Yeah.
I know he's a big proponent of the foam roller. We found that out during an interview with the morning shift here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They asked all the players, what is the one essential you got to bring to camp? And his answer was a foam roller.
What a professional response,
yeah. So
honestly.
There were some people who said, you know, video games or, right, you know, certain drinks or snacks. And he was like, nah, I need my foam roller, man.
I would suggest the same people said video game or food or something, and only an insane person would say, I need my foam roller on a desert
well,
island.
You don't make it 11 years in the league as a starting left tackle by accident.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So let's start backwards before we get forwards. Let's sort of take a collective breath and look at everything that's happened from the time last season ended to where we are now heading into game week. Sort of chronicle for me the highs, the lows, the biggest the biggest signings, the biggest moments of the last year for the Falcons, and sort of the state of the team right now as we head into week one.
I was thinking about this recently because of just how much change there's actually been with the Falcons on their roster, especially when you think about where they were on that, you know, dark Monday after the season ended. Yeah. They obviously hold the press conference, you know, announcing the firing of Arthur Smith or explaining it. And, you know, at that point on the roster, you still had the quarterback room fully intact. The debate was whether you actually, you know, is Desmond Ridder going to be the backup for this team? You know, it's kind of funny to think about that. But since then, now we have a completely different quarterback room, you know, two new quarterbacks, and Taylor Heinicke now no longer part of it. So literally every person different in that respect. I think you've seen a different approach this team has taken and how what kind of traits and abilities it values, especially in its pass catchers. I think you saw the team go out and really focus on receivers who are more separators instead of ball winners that it seemed like Arthur Smith preferred in his offense. So I think that you've seen the team execute a strategy that is, frankly, you know, it's dictated from the top from Raheem Morris and the way that I think that he wants to play and the tactics that he's observed over the years that have been most successful, and that's what he's going to try to implement into this team. So the first we saw that kind of the drastic moves with Kirk Cousins signed, obviously, to start free agency. They brought in Darnell Mooney to kind of be one of the pass catchers alongside of the some of the other guys that they've already acquired in the recent years. And then we saw them later on in training camp kind of fully address the defense with bringing in Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, because prior to that, the most like expensive piece they added to the defense was, oh, I don't know his salary off the top of my head, but it's James Smith-Williams, who's making like, you know,
$3 million,
a couple million, like that, something very, very low. So they really had not made any investments at all other than some draft picks on that side of the ball. So now they've got a kind of a core of young defensive players, especially along that defensive line. Unfortunately, they lost Braylon Trice, but now they've supplemented them with veteran players. And I think that that's something that I heard reported by somebody that Raheem Morris said today, which is that this roster now is a veteran roster with kind of young pieces sprinkled in. And, you know, I think that that's kind of part of the transition of going from a team that's hopeful, up-and-coming, talented, etc., to one that can actually win and win in prime time and win in crunch time and win late in the season when you're in the playoffs.
Talking with our buddy Joe Patrick. He will be in studio with me until 4 o'clock, taking your calls at 404-726-0929. What is your biggest question? What would you like to know from our Falcons insider heading into week one versus the Steelers? Or if you just feel like this thing is going to be a blowout, we want to hear from you too. Why do you feel like the Falcons are about to lay the hammer down on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Again, Joe Patrick with me until 4 o'clock, 404-726-0929. All right. One thing that's been talked about a ton, and I know I felt it when I was at Flowery Branch, I'm sure you have as well, it's an intangible thing, it's hard to describe, but the energy that Raheem Morris brings into the building, the vibe that comes along with it, the way the players and the coaches have responded to it, in the best way possible, how can you describe that?
Yeah, he obviously kind of connects with players in a way that, you know, maybe, I don't want to say Arthur Smith didn't, but, you know, it's just like, I think there's just a different way that he connects with these guys. And it's kind of funny because Raheem Morris is actually an older person than Arthur Smith by a decent margin. I think by 7 or 8 years, although they don't kind of present that way. Raheem Morris presents as this kind of young, energetic, charismatic guy, obviously, and Arthur Smith kind of, I think over his time in Atlanta, morphed into a guy who was presenting more as the gruff.
A little curmudgeonly.
You know, he grew out the mustache, you know, it almost like adds to that presentation. But yeah, I mean, I think it's clear that the players in that locker room sense a rejuvenation of sorts. I think they also sense that this team actually feels like it's in a position to go for it. And I think that, you know, the mood has really been elevated the most in the last couple of weeks since bringing in Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, and two guys who are, you know, veterans in this league. And I think the rest of the players in the locker room understand that those are guys that can come in and make an immediate impact, where a veteran football player knows that you can't quite count on a second or third round pick to come in and be a super high impact player for you, especially along the line. So I think that this team just feels like they're ready to go for it, which is something that they haven't really felt confident in, you know, some of them in their entire NFL careers.
Yeah, it's been since 2016 that the playoffs were reached and seemed attainable. I mean, it's funny because we were doing this song and dance last year, and then they started off well too. That was the worst part. Like, you beat Green Bay in a competitive game, you have a couple of nice wins in there, and then it just all falls apart. And hopefully not to be duplicated this year.
I think the difference was last year's hopes were kind of pinned on the idea that you were going to get you could kind of coach up a competent quarterback out of Desmond Ritter, and that obviously never materialized. Didn't even come close. And not only the frustrating part, I think, for a lot of people last year is the team could actually move the ball relatively well between the 20s, but once they started getting to that, that fringe area, as Arthur Smith would call it, around the 30-yard line of the opponent, things would really kind of bog down, and that's where you saw some of the worst decisions being made from Desmond Ritter at quarterback. So I think there's just a different kind of hope when you go into it with a guy like Kirk Cousins, and it's not just about Kirk Cousins' career numbers. It's about what these players experience with Kirk Cousins as he's leading them through a meeting, or inviting them out to some kind of off-field function. I think that these players are experiencing a different level of not just quarterbacking, but a different level of leadership from a guy in Kirk Cousins who's obviously been around the block and done this a couple times.
It hits different, as the kids like to say, Joe. All right, 404-726-0929. Jace is in the A. He wants to talk about the Falcons' offense. Jace, what do you got for Joe?
Compared to other years offensively, everyone try to input.
All right, Jace, unfortunately you got a bad phone connection. I think what he was trying to say was about this Falcons offense compared to recent vintages, something you were just hitting on. It's astronomically different. It's night and day. Again, it's not just Kirk Cousins, but it's another year of Bijan. It's expectations now for Pitts and Drake London. Scott, you got to think going in, sky's the limit. I know we got to see it to believe it, but why not?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you listen to the players and what they're saying and what they're seeing and experiencing playing with Kirk Cousins, it is, I think it's kind of eye-opening. You know, when Bijan Robinson kind of says, genuinely saying, man, like, the ball is always in the perfect spot every single time. When Drake London says something like it's going to be 180 degrees difference this season, and he starts talking about how he's going to also kind of show up a little bit more in terms of the way that he carries himself on the field and letting his personality kind of speak out there a little bit. I think that's what gets you excited, that these guys finally feel like they're going to be able to express themselves and who they are as football players because they've got a guy that's going to be able to deliver them the ball.
Yeah, it's just something that just hasn't been done the last couple of years. It's a matter of, Joe, just like, we got to just, it is what it is,
and,
man.
And there's something about Kirk Cousins, too. I mean, like, I get where this comes from, but, when you hear national pundits talk about him, it's always in the most, like, backhanded compliment kind of way. And honestly, a lot of the compliments that he gets from the national narratives is how much money he's made. Like, you got to give him credit for how much money he's made in the NFL. It's like, well, you don't make that kind of money unless you have a lot of teams that want you to be their starting quarterback.
Right.
And if you look at the numbers, his numbers stack up with some of, as the numbers are as impressive as, some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Not Pat Mahomes, but, like 4,000 yards almost every single year, right around 30 touchdowns almost every single year. He's going to have a little bit of the turnover. Like I think that he is, Chaos Kirk is kind of the mantra he got, or the nickname he got up in Minnesota, because he was prone to some bad-looking interceptions. But I think that that's different. Like, he is more of a risk-taker and a guy who's going to push the ball than I think a lot of people give him credit for.
Even still, even with whatever, narratives were floating around Minnesota, like you said, his averages for the last five seasons, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Yeah.
That's the average season over the last five for Kirk Cousins. Falcons haven't had that since 2016.
And they would have been in the playoffs last year had they gotten that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, more of your calls coming up, 404-726-0929. Got Joe in here for a couple of more segments. What do you want to know about this game coming up on Sunday or about this entire season? You give us a call, 404-726-0929. We'll break down the new additions and how they fit into the scheme of the Falcons. Let's break down some roster personnel and more of your calls. Whatever you want to talk about with the Falcons is on the table. Chris Thomas with you till 6. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Buddy Joe Patrick in studio taking your calls, tweets, and texts. I forgot that Twitter was a thing in the first segment. I should have given that out because I've gotten a couple of good questions at C Thomas nice. Radio at JA Patrick 200. Hit us up and send us your Falcons questions for week one and for the entire season. Joe's here to facilitate and disperse his knowledge about the Atlanta Falcons going into week one and for the entire season. This one comes from Tish. She says, I'm loving the Falcons conversations. Some fans were still wanting them to go after another wide receiver. How do you feel that the room is shaking out with the additions of a healthy Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson entering year two?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is that, yeah, it's unfortunate that Rondale Moore went down because he was going to be not a huge part of this offense. And I think that people should understand that when he got hurt, he was running a lot with the twos. Like, he was basically like the premier receiver for the Penix Penix line on offense. He was not really working with the first team as much. Ray McLeod has held down that third wide receiver role since he got here. And this is another thing, because I listen to a lot of national media because I want to hear what their opinions are versus kind of what I'm hearing directly, and they're kind of just kind of hearing it through the hearsay, or just they have their own opinions about these players. And one is that, like, national media just does not value Ray McLeod at all as a wide receiver. And it's understandable. He hasn't had like a prolific career so far to this point, though he has had a prolific career as a returner. But I think that this staff really believes in him, and he's going to be on the field a lot. Darnell Mooney, maybe even more so in terms of the volume that of catches that he's going to get over the course of the season is going to be substantial. As far as like a fantasy option, I don't know if he's going to have like the touchdown, the impact plays that on a regular basis that's going to be reliable, but he's also going to be on the field a lot. Now, if either of those guys were to get hurt, then I think they get into a real kind of a dicey situation. They might need to add somebody, but I don't think that on the list of priorities that you have as a team, especially these last couple weeks, that a receiver was that high up. You really needed to address the defense, which they did. And now, you know, they're set. The salary cap is set. They could still, you know, create more money for themselves if they needed to, but why do that before you get until you get into a situation where you feel like you're desperate and you have to get somebody in? So I think that would be the only way we see this team add another kind of notable pass catcher.
Now, when it comes to talking about the depth of the team, they made some interesting decisions along the offensive and defensive line in terms of pure numbers that they're going to keep, 15 between them. And then the defensive back room, maybe another cornerback could have been added to the roster. What did you make of the way that they dispersed the reps and the guys that are going to be rotating in and out?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, everybody's doing their roster projections or at least us nerds were doing our roster projections. And, you know, there was three names on there that I feel like everybody had at least one of these three names. That's Chris Blair, the wide receiver, Damone Harris, the edge, and Kevin King, the cornerback.
Right.
Ultimately, I think everybody was surprised that all three of those guys did not make the roster, but I think it proved to be the correct decision by the Falcons already by virtue of the fact that they are all back on the practice squad. Saw all three of them today in the locker room this morning. So they're basically on the team. You know, Raheem Morris calls the practice squad just an extension of the roster. And they were able to then parlay Taylor Heinicke into a draft pick for next year, which is, you know, not a noteworthy pick. It's a seventh that could potentially be a sixth, but you know, they don't have a fifth already, so at least allows them to get one more prospect in the draft. And, you know, they were just able to parlay that roster spot into something, you know, which is I think is a win for this team. So ultimately it was surprising, but I think that it has proven to be the correct decision.
The running back room to me is interesting, Joe, because I feel like there's going to be a sliver, shall I say, of a chance for Jace McClellan to get in there and make an impact on a game. But just in terms of, let's talk just about Bijan and Algier for now. His role, Algier, really got diminished last year.
Mm-hmm.
How much, or, you know, even in percentages, let's say, talking about the nerd and stuff, more back into the flow of the offense do you feel he's going to be this season?
He'll still be a guy that has a role in this team. Again, the thing that Raheem Morris will tell you over and over again, if anyone listening were to go talk to him about this team and like these kinds of questions about these kinds of players, he would talk about, you know, these guys embracing the roles that they're given. And for a guy like D'Angelo Malone, for example, the edge player, it's actually less about being an edge, more about being a beast on special teams. And for Tyler Algier, it is going to be kind of accepting this role of being essentially the understudy. I mean, like, he's going to come in for Bijan when Bijan needs a blow, or if Bijan, you know, takes a knock or something, he needs to sit out a few plays. Like, Tyler Algier is a great player to just kind of put into the lineup, and he can do a lot of what Bijan does, although not in the same exact kind of way. But I think that, you know, despite the fact that he's going to have more limited carries on a week-to-week basis, I still think that he can create explosives for you in the run game, especially. I mean, when he gets a full head of steam going on the outside zone, you think about him as a power runner, but he's kind of like, he runs that outside zone kind of in the way that a guy like Derrick Henry does, almost like a poor man's version, where he just gets such a head of steam going that he breaks arm tackles, guys who do not get their kind of helmet on the proper side of the body, and he can just run through it and then create a 20-yard gain or so. So I still think that he's going to have some big moments for this team this year. And yeah, for guys like Jace McClellan, Avery Robinson, they also offer some different things. Jace McClellan, guy who can catch out of the backfield. Avery can do that as well. Avery might be a guy that we see kind of evolving into a similar type of role that Rondale Moore may have had, a guy in the quick game, RPO game, stuff like that, creative ways to use him on sweeps and things. I think that, you know, you could potentially see an avenue for all of these guys contributing, even though Bijan is going to be that kind of centerpiece back that I think a lot of people, especially in fantasy, want to see.
Yeah, the whole Christian McCaffrey question narrative that was out there this offseason. Again, 404-726-0929, the number to get in. What are your biggest questions, concerns? What are you most excited about for the Atlanta Falcons going into week one? And also hit us up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio and J.A. Patrick 200. Another guy that I'm excited about is Casey Washington.
Yeah.
I think he has a chance to make a couple of plays and turn a couple of heads. I don't expect anything crazy from him, but as we continue to break down the wide receiver room, I know this. Kyle Pitts better have 1,000 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns minimum. Drake London better have 1,000 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns minimum. And it's funny because this is something we joked about before, right? Because if Kirk is going to give you those 4,000 yards, they got to go somewhere,
exactly.
Right?
I've been doing this math in my head in like the shower for the last couple weeks here. So, okay, if you got 4,000 yards to disperse around, Drake London's getting 1,000 of those. Probably
minimum, yeah.
Yeah, minimum. Is Kyle Pitts getting 1,000 yards?
Minimum,
yeah. Okay, so that's 2,000. Now, Darnell Mooney and Bijan maybe split 1,000. 500 apiece?
Yeah, Bijan had, what, six something last year out of the backfield, I think. So, yeah. I mean,
Bijan could go even higher than he had last year. I think that Kirk is going to be more adept at like being able to deliver him the ball in the flats and areas where he can exploit. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys are going to pick up yards. As it goes to Casey Washington, it's been a really kind of interesting evolution on the Casey Washington hype from the draft until now. At the draft, everybody, there was absolutely zero hype. It was nobody knows who this guy is. He doesn't even have a profile picture in like whatever service I'm using. You know, he has like, you know, minimal kind of stats from a career at Illinois and in some other places. But then as the offseason evolves, he becomes like he's our next Puka Nacua, of course, because he's a low, you know, a low pick wide receiver who's, you know, got some good athleticism and is showing some flashes in camp. And I'd like to think that it's starting to normalize now, where people are understanding that he's, you know, going to kind of at least start the season as a bit part player who can offer some things. People have gotten a good look at him and understood, I think, a little bit more of the learning process that he has to go through, having seen him in preseason games where he was playing quite a bit. So we'll see how it goes. But he certainly has a lot of potential. And I was just actually noting today when I was at practice, like, man, they were doing some little foot speed drills in the individual session of practice, and it's kind of two receivers go at the same time, and it's who wins. And man, he was blowing some guys away. Yeah, he's a little quick foot speed thing.
He looks the part. We've been saying that all offseason. He looks the part. It's just a matter of putting it together. And like you said, how much, you know, with a team that has a lot of expectations, how much can a rookie wide receiver make an impact right away? Before we get out of here for this break, defensive line rotation. I mean, beats me, Joe. You got eight guys. I mean, literally, you got eight guys. I guess they're going to find a way to get everybody snaps, or is it going to be Grady on Yamada and, you know, everybody else is going to just fall in line? What do you predict happens?
I don't know if all of them will get snaps. In fact, I think, you know, you look at a guy like Brandon Dorlus, who may be, at least from a current talent level point of view, maybe last on that list of the eight defensive linemen, but obviously you're going to carry him on the roster because he was a, you know, relatively significant draft pick for you. I think he's the kind of guy who could ultimately not find himself on the game day roster. You're also, you know, you look at some of the bigger defensive linemen that the team has carried, whether that's, you know, a player like Eddie Goldman or, gosh, I'm trying to think of one of the other players who could potentially play nose. Yeah, Tiki Graham. Some of these guys might not be needed every week, so you might not find them on the roster. What I'm interested to see, Chris, is last year in Ryan Nielsen's defensive system, at least to start the year, this is what he wanted, was to have kind of like hockey lines coming in. So you bring it, you kind of bring in them all fresh, and they're ready to go after the quarterback. Ultimately, injuries made it so that he couldn't really do that, and injuries made it so the team was having to go, you know, sign guys as emergency options and throw them in 1 week. But I'm interested to see if that kind of rotation continues or if it's more kind of one for one. I think we might see more, you know, individual rotations because you might want to manage a guy like Grady Jarrett coming off an ACL injury a little bit different than a David Onyemata who can probably, you know, maybe give you some more snaps, especially earlier in the year. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But they have enough bodies where they should be able to keep these guys relatively fresh throughout the games.
All right, one more segment. When we get back, let's really nail down on Steelers versus Falcons. What matchups are we anticipating? What could be an area of concern for the Falcons? We'll take more of your calls, tweets, texts as well. 404-726-0929. I am at C. Thomas Radio. He is at J.A. Patrick 200. What is your biggest question heading into week one? Joe is here to answer it, as well as any general questions you have about the team in general, anything we've been talking about, the roster construction, players that did make the team, didn't make the team, whatever is on your mind, the burning question about the Falcons, feel free to call in 404-726-0929. Joe is here to answer those. All right, one more with Joe coming back in five. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. How fitting is it that we have our Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick, in studio when we get a bit of news? The Atlanta Falcons just released their captains for the 2024 season. They are as follows: Kirk O'Chains, Kirk Cousins, Jesse Bates after his stellar season last year, Grady Jarrett back off injury, and Jake Matthews. Those will be your four captains for the Atlanta Falcons in 2024. We were talking about this during the break, Joe. Nothing really crazy jumps out at you. The guys that have certainly earned it, even if it's not in Atlanta, a guy like Kirk Cousins, he certainly earned it throughout his career. Mm-hmm. And the other three guys are the best at what they do on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, you were thinking maybe if there's like one other player that could be a captain, it might be Chris Lindstrom.
But since
you have Jake Matthews there already, like kind of representing the offensive line, you kind of have those that base covered already. So, yeah, I don't think any big surprises there. A guy like Justin Simmons, it's great when you can have a player like Justin Simmons, who's not even a captain, but he still brings so much leadership and intangibles to the table for the team.
Would have been funny to see if he was there for the entire offseason. Yeah. Maybe he would have gotten a shot. So, again, those are your captains there. Joe Patrick is with me for about 15, 20 more minutes. So if you got a question about Week 1, hit us up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. At JAPatrick200 or on the text line 404-726-0929. That is also the number to call in with whatever you want to know or discuss about the Falcons as we head into Week 1. All right, let's break this matchup down a little bit because it's very interesting. Two teams that are kind of projected to be going in a bit of opposite directions. We had the quarterback turmoil, Russell Wilson gets the nod to go. But this whole, what do you make of this whole packages deal about Justin Fields? Is that something that the Falcons should, A, realistically be accounting for, and B, something that could actually pose a real threat in this matchup?
Two very different questions. I think, yes, you need to be ready for it. Does it pose a big threat to them? I don't think so. In fact, I think this is just my opinion, but I feel like if Justin Fields comes into the game, I think you got to be licking your lips a little bit as the Falcons defense. Like either he's going to run the ball and you're going to be able to get a quarterback hit, or if he's throwing, you got to feel like if he's like just coming and he's going to kind of like throw the ball around and not playing snap in, snap out, that's a great opportunity for a player to make a mistake and for the Falcons to capitalize, especially when you have two safeties like the Falcons have who are so good at being those ball hawking, sneaky kind of guys who can come up with those big plays.
Do you feel like the combination of Hayward, Watt, the Highsmith, the linebacker, is there something to worry about in terms of the offensive line protecting Kirk in Week 1?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's going to be – it's paramount that they keep him upright, a quarterback coming off the kind of injury he has and the fact that he hasn't kind of seen this live action yet. I was talking about this morning. It's like, it would have been nice, I think. It feels like – I would feel better for him if he had been in a preseason game, at least knowing that he could get sacked. You wouldn't have wanted to see it ultimately.
Yeah.
But you just wonder about how he's going to react knowing that he could get hit and him knowing that he could get hit for the first time. And you have to think that that's going to happen regardless. I mean, no offensive line is going to keep a quarterback clean throughout an entire game against the Steelers. But especially this one for a team that we think is going to be doing some more natural dropbacks than they did in previous years when they've had scrambling quarterbacks. Are guys like Drew Dolman, Matthew Bergeron, are they going to be up for that test? Caleb McGarry, maybe the most important player. Are they going to be up for the test of being able to protect without as much play action going into it?
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. And I think the Falcons have to game plan themselves around, chipping these guys and making that protection the first priority before you even think about kind of doing anything else within this game.
So if you're Zach Robinson, is this a Bijan Robinson, like, coming out party right out of the gates game? Like, because of the worry about maybe not being able to hold up long enough in pass protection, are you saying, go, you're our horse, go get him?
Well, I think that that's going to be something that's every week for this Falcons team. Is they're going to be, even though I said they're going to do more natural dropbacks, they're still going to be they're going to be a run the ball first kind of team. Now, the reason that there's going to be more natural dropbacks is because they were, I believe, last in the league last year, or maybe second to last in that. Yeah, they were almost always attaching play action to their passing game, or just running the ball in general. They passed it among the least in the NFL as well. So they're going to pass it more, but they need the running game to work, obviously. But what I think, Chris, is maybe more screen game. I think that's something that's getting underplayed in Zach Robinson because we just don't know exactly who he is as a play caller.
We know nothing.
Yeah, we know absolutely nothing.
We know nothing.
But it was something that I noticed a lot during this training camp. It's just a lot of screens, a lot of that kind of jet motion, maybe touching off one of those jet passes to the guy that's in motion and like having him do pretty much a sweep or doing, fake that and then throw a screen to the other side. I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of quick game, try to get them over pursuing at the line of scrimmage.
Maybe a guy like a Ray McLeod or Darnell Mooney could be a key to the game, as you said, in the screen game or in the jet sweep wing T style game that they might try to run out of the backfield. Because we did see, as you just mentioned, there was a lot of that going on in practice.
And it's a way to keep a guy like TJ Watt from just having his ears pinned back, ready to attack Caleb McGarry or, you know, whoever it is and get after the quarterback. Like, if you can make them have to feel like they need to be aware to move laterally, then that puts them kind of back on their heels a bit. And I think that helps your offensive line ultimately.
Is it a situation in this game plan where you feel like either the new guys in Judon and Simmons are going to have an opportunity to feast, either bringing one back or taking down Russ?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is kind of – it's almost like a perfect matchup for both of those guys, really, I think, to get some good feelings going in the beginning of the season. You know, I think, you know, we've seen Russell Wilson has a propensity to throw an errant ball. If Justin Fields comes in, he can do the same as well. And we were just talking about how Justin Simmons would have an opportunity if Justin Fields were to get in the game to potentially make something happen. But I think for Matthew Judon, you know, Russell Wilson is one of those guys who holds the ball more than anybody in the NFL, holds it longer than anybody, wants to make that big play, and therefore he gets sacked by more than anybody in the NFL. So I think it's a great opportunity for Matthew Judon and the rest of these Falcons pass rushers to not just get one or two sacks, but, you know, you could have a whole lot more with these two quarterbacks that Pittsburgh's bringing in.
Now, one of my only concerns about the offense going in the first couple of weeks is, A, the defenses that they're facing, but B, Zach Robinson, is he going to try to do a little too much? Is he going to try to play with the toy chest a little too much? Because this, Joe, I mean, there's no getting around it. There's expectations for this team.
Yeah.
And this team is expected to, we have a drop of Arthur Smith that we always play on Dukes and Bell. Well, obviously we need to score more points. And this Falcons team needs to score more points, a lot of them, if they're going to make up for the last couple of years. Is there any concern? I know you mentioned that we haven't really seen it, so we can't really know if it's going to be conservative or if it's going to be, you know, just guns a-blazing, firing deep shots all across the field. But is there any concern that, and Jimmy Lake, it's almost the same thing, that these guys are going to try to get ahead of their skis a little bit too much and do a little too much against a team that maybe, you know, you can just play your game and win, because the Steelers are good, not great.
For sure. I think there's always that fear. And the Steelers are, they're a good, not great team. They're a team that can absolutely punish you, especially, you know, when you're talking about your offense versus their defense, when you make mistakes or, you know, don't execute properly. And so that's going to be very important. It'll be very important, or it'll be very interesting to see how these players are able to execute, having not played a single preseason snap. And I know that that's obviously been a point of contention for a lot of fans. You know, it's interesting with Zach Robinson, when you talk to the Falcons players about him, they obviously love him, which, you know, what player is not going to, like, you know, big up their coordinator? But something that they said about Zach is that he listens to the players. He wants their opinion on things and their feedback, and then, you know, try to implement that or just use the feedback in order to optimize things, whether that's personnel groups or the actual play calls or the scheme or whatever it is. So that can be good. It certainly sounds good. It does lead me to think that, you know, there's the potential, if you've got, you know, a million pieces of feedback coming in from every player on the offense, then, you know, what does that result in?
Get me the ball, coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everybody wants the ball. So how do you sort that out? You know, the honest answer is that we probably won't know exactly who Zach Robinson is as a play caller until we get, like, pretty deep into the season, because so much of his success is going to be based upon how he adjusts week to week and adjusts to how teams are adjusting to him. The one thing, he comes from the Pro Football Focus kind of background. He charted quarterbacks there, worked there for a long time. And so it does lead me to think that he's going to kind of go by the book in terms of doing the things that statistically give the team the better odds to be successful, whether that's picking up a first down or just doing whatever they need to do to be successful. But it will be interesting to see how he turns out, and there's going to be pressure on him for sure.
All right, before we get out of here, got another one on the text line at 404-726-0929. Bruce and Marietta wants to know, could there potentially be packages for Michael Penix Jr.? I think I know the answer to this one, but is it possible they picked him number 8, Joe?
There will be in 2 years or 3 years.
That's what I thought.
There's nothing for Penix. And yeah, it, talking about national narratives, it's also very funny to hear national sport, you know, NFL pundits kind of like running with the idea that there was something to Penix not playing any more series after that Dolphins game, and thinking that that has something to do with Kirk Cousins and his physical ability or whatnot. I mean, I think Michael Penix is great insurance for Kirk Cousins. And you know, I'm not saying that there isn't a risk in Kirk Cousins getting hurt again after having missed half of last season with an injury, but he is absolutely this team's quarterback one. There's not anything special that's for Michael Penix. Again, his job is to continue to learn. And I think people will understand soon enough that Kirk Cousins is by far the better quarterback at this point in time than Michael Penix is.
Just God forbid, Joe, if he goes out in week two against Philadelphia in Philly and throws a couple of picks and costs them a game. I don't want to think about that scenario. Those are going to be tough questions for Coach Rod to have to answer with us on Tukes and Bell on Wednesdays at Flowery
Branch. Can I say something though? Like,
yeah.
Listen, when they decide to make that call, and they go with the quarterback, that's part of the territory. Part of the territory is that people are going to question, you know, should he be playing? You know, so that's just going to be that's their job now to have to handle, because you know you can't say people's opinions are you can't invalidate people's opinions. They can think whatever they want. So that's just part of the territory that comes with drafting a quarterback that high and then stashing him for however long they're going to.
All right, last thing, we've been talking about it all offseason long. Now it's here, Joe. Do the Falcons win versus the Steelers?
I think they do. They should. I mean, they're favored. So, yeah, I think they will. I mean, I'm it's going to sound very homerish, but I mean, I am like very bought in on this Falcons team. A lot of it is down to the schedule. They face such an easy schedule this year. I think that
the back half. Yeah.
Yeah, the back half of the schedule. They don't face hardly any like top quarterbacks. Obviously, they do here in the first few weeks, which is why it feels weird saying that. But after they get through, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, they have later on in the season, Dak Prescott, and like Geno Smith. I'm going from top to bottom in terms, and then you get tons of rookies, Daniel Jones, Jaden Daniels. So, yeah, anyway, I think the Falcons are going to be very good this year in a wins-loss perspective, but I also think they got off to a good start here and beat the Steelers.
All right, Joe, it's been a fun hour. Appreciate the time as always, and make sure you give him a follow at JPatrick200, bringing you daily updates on the Falcons, and he will have you all covered pillar to post on game day coming up. Coverage beginning with you, as a matter of fact, Harper LaBelle.
That's right.
And John Fricke at 9 a.m. on
That's
Sunday,
right.
right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when we get back, he covers the team, checks in with us every week. What does Connor Riley think about what the Dogs did on Saturday? You don't want to miss his take. One of the best in the biz joins me next, halfway home. Chris Thomas with you till 6, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.